Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, June 1st, the year of our Lord, 2025. This is the seventh Sunday of Easter, and today we celebrate the Ascension of the Lord. It is an absolute joy to welcome you here to the podcast, here at the beginning of the summer season. I know it's still spring. We've got a few more weeks until we officially enter summer, but you can feel summer coming down here on Pensacola Beach, that's for certain. But as we are together on this day and the joy and the new rhythm of summer is coming, let's begin with our first practice here at the podcast, and that is to call to mind all that is good and pure and worthy and lovely, those things that light us up inside, and to give thanks to God for all of it, the one who is the giver of all good things. And so let's begin that practice by doing what we do here. Let's take a big breath and hold on to that breath. Savor that breath. It is the gift of life, a gift from Almighty God. Let it go. And draw in another deep breath. And again, call to mind those things that light you up inside, the people and the places, the situations, the opportunities. Fill you with joy. And as you think about these things, perhaps open your arms wide, turn your face toward the heavens. Thank God for all of it. All of these people, all of these opportunities. The best of life. In this spirit of gratitude, in this spirit of thanksgiving, let's begin together in worship. Please join me in the opening prayer as printed in your digital bulletin. You can find that bulletin on the left margin of where you found today's podcast. On that line, just below the line, you'll see a tab that says Sermon Notes. If you click in there, the bulletin will come up for you. So let's begin. Heavenly Father, on this seventh Sunday of Easter, we celebrate Jesus' ascension into heaven. Just as the apostles witnessed Jesus being taken up into the clouds, we recognize his glory and kingship. Lord, open our hearts and minds so we may understand the hope you have given us through Jesus. Fill us with your wisdom and power so we can share your love with everyone. Like the apostles who returned to Jerusalem with great joy, may we always praise and thank you. We ask this through Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit forever and ever. Amen. Friends, our gospel reading today comes from Luke's gospel in the 24th chapter, verses 44 through 53. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, blessing God. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Heavenly Father, we call out to you and we pray. We ask your presence with us as we take a moment to reflect on this, your good and living word. We pray for your presence. We pray that you would help us, that you'd save us from misinterpretation and distraction. We pray that you would draw close, open our minds to understand. We ask this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Friends, we come to this, the seventh Sunday of Easter. We are blessed by this story of the ascension of our Lord. And I think for me, it's helpful to review these stories that begin on the first day of the week, early in the morning, while it's still dark, as John tells us that Mary is making her way to the tomb, her eyes still puffy with tears, wanting to have some kind of proper closure with her beloved friend, Rabbi, only to find that the tomb is empty, the stone has been rolled away. What could this mean? Mixed with fear and anger and insult, she runs back to tell the others, the stone is rolled away, the tomb is empty. As John tells the story, Peter and John race to the tomb. They indeed find it just like Mary said, it's empty. Mysteriously, the cloths, the burial cloths, are all wrapped up neatly. And they cast a knowing glance at each other and they race back home. Mary stays behind and she is blessed to be the first one to see the resurrected Lord, who speaks her name, and he commissions her, go and tell the others. And so she does, which sets off this chain of events, and we have different accountings in the different Gospels. One that Luke tells us prior to the telling of this story is the story of this traveling pair who are going from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and on the journey home that afternoon of Easter Sunday, they encounter a stranger. Stranger inquires what it is they're talking about. They can't believe that he doesn't know what they're talking about. We're talking about Jesus, and there's some saying that he's risen from the dead, and well, this stranger just slides into this conversation. This stranger speaks in a way that opens their mind to the Bible stories, the Torah stories that they've heard since they were little, but he explains them in a way that they've never heard before. They're more clear. These stories make more sense than they ever have in their whole lives. It's like their hearts burn within them as this stranger speaks to them. Well, they get where they're going, as the story goes. They get home. They invite the stranger into their home. They sit at the table. They break bread. in the breaking of the bread, they realize it has been Jesus all along. And so they run to tell the others. And we've considered the story of Jesus coming into the room, a room with a locked door, disciples gathered in fear, telling and retelling the stories of the last 3 years, trying to figure out what all this means, what might be next for them. The tension is heavy in the air. And into this room with its locked door steps Jesus. He blesses them with peace. He breathes peace upon them. He is this gentle, loving, commissioning presence. There's one that's missing, Thomas. Thomas learns later what's happened, and he's upset. He wants to believe as they believe, but they've seen something that he hasn't seen. Jesus blesses Thomas a week later with his presence, shows him his scars and his wounds. Thomas confesses him as Lord. And Jesus says to him, "Blessed are the ones who have not seen and yet come to believe." That's us. The ones who have not seen and have come to believe. The beautiful story of Peter and the others out fishing. John tells us this story. They've been out fishing all night and haven't caught a thing. A voice comes from the lake shore. "Throw your net on the other side of the boat and you'll catch some fish." Well, they catch fish all right. A massive abundance of fish. Big fish. So big it would normally break the nets, but the nets don't break. The nets hold, and they realize only one. This is no normal fishing guide on the shore. This is Jesus. They make their way to shore. He's prepared a fire for them. They sit and they have breakfast. They gather in their community. He has opportunity to continue to teach them, to offer forgiveness and commissioning. He says to Peter, "You love me? Feed my sheep. Take care of my lambs. It's a ministry of grace and peace that I commission you to." These beautiful stories of the appearance of the resurrected Jesus, the friend that they saw killed but now alive, the friend that walked on the water, the friend that raised their friend Lazarus from the dead, the friend that changes water into wine, the friend that fed 5,000. There's something about being in the presence of this Jesus that leads one to expect miracles. And every time they want to explain it away, they realize that that is an exercise in vanity. That to be in the presence of Jesus is to be in the presence of something divine, something unexpected, something beautiful, something miraculous. And so this final teaching that Jesus offers on this day, as he says to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, very much like on the road to Emmaus. He brought a peace and an assurance and a calm that they could be vulnerable to what he was saying, that they could drop their apprehension and just let the words wash over them. He said to them, "Thus it was written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day." They'd seen that. "And that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations," reaffirming the commissioning that they have received. to go out and offer forgiveness, the love of God through the person of this Jesus. That work that should, as he says, begin from Jerusalem. He continues to teach them, "You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. Filled, fulfilled, that the fullness of their discipleship had come. They've been confirmed, fully enlightened. This miracle, witnessing this particular sign, didn't fill them with dread, didn't fill them with 1,000 questions, didn't leave them scratching their heads or asking a bunch of different kinds of questions. They just received the blessing, and they worshiped him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. One of the literary things I love about that last line there, that they returned to Jerusalem with great joy, it reminds me of the story that takes place way back at the beginning. Shepherds come at the prompting of angels to see a child that has been born. They come and they just lay eyes on the baby and his mother. And they return. They return home, singing God's praise. The sky is alight with what has happened. That same joy is present here. And we could get hung up with where exactly, physically, did Jesus go? What does it mean for him to go up? Did he go up into orbit? Did he go up into some remote corner of the universe? Luke is not saying that. He's saying they receive a blessing and he was carried up. Physically, in the moment, what did they actually see with their eyes? I suppose we'll never know. But what they experienced in their hearts and in their minds was that as he went away, he became closer than ever. He filled their hearts and their minds, and they just knew that they were filled with the wisdom and the power and the love of Jesus, which made it a joy for them to return to Jerusalem and a joy to be in the temple praising God with this blessed assurance, as the hymn goes, that he was with them, that he abided with them. I highly commend to you, as we approach the season of Pentecost, take some time to review the readings of this season. Remember the excitement. Remember the anticipation of what it meant for Mary to hear Jesus speak her name, to be taken from the pits of despair to the heights of joy and hope and peace and love. This is everything. It is wonderful, radiant, ascendant good news. To which I say, Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we call out to you and we give you thanks. We are so very grateful for your presence with us, for the promise that Jesus makes us, that we are to pray and to wait, and in the praying and the waiting, you will be present with us. So as we pray and as we wait, we confess the times when we find the praying and the waiting very difficult, the times when we've chosen our own way, the times when we've spoken harsh words, the times when we've remained silent when we should have said something, the things we've done, the things we've left undone. We confess to you, O God, our sin. But we claim the good news. We claim the good news. Repentance, forgiveness of sin. It is a gift you offer to all who ask for it. And so in faith, we humbly ask for it. And celebrate the forgiveness that you offer each and every one of us. We thank you, God, for this beautiful and eternal gift of your grace and your peace. And we ask in your name, O God, we ask your blessings upon this, your very good world. We pray your blessings upon those who find themselves in positions of power and influence, that they would come to know the truth, that they would come to embody and live into the spirit of discipleship and faith, repentance and forgiveness, that indeed they could be agents of your grace and peace. And we pray for all the people of the world, God, that they would come to find your healing presence, they would come to find hope in you, and that they could go out, each one, as they find this relationship with you, that they could go out and tell the others, and that we would be universally your church, your body, alive in the world. And we ask that you draw close, because you know, God, that we keep lists, things that we're very excited about, things that we anticipate, and things that worry us, things that we have no control over. We have these little lists. Sometimes we write them down. Sometimes we just rehearse them in our minds. Sometimes they keep us up late at night. We take a moment to pause and to be silent so that we can share these lists with you and listen for your answers. Meet us here, we pray. We break our silence. We give you thanks, O God, for the gifts of peace and quiet. And we give you thanks for the legacy of our faith, for the richness of Scripture and sacrament and prayer and song. We celebrate together a prayer that you taught your first disciples. Pray that you'd hear us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, I pray that we will do so with great joy and anticipation, that we can find a way to continually be in prayer. The prayers of our minds, the prayers of our mouths, the prayers of our hands and our actions, all of it inspired by our good God, the God that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses you and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.